Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the call.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and what is happening? How was your Monday? We're now Tuesday, November the 7th, and what's going on with everybody? You know, it's markets continue to remain in that same crappy, ugly pattern of drifting. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with the markets going up. There's nothing wrong with the markets going down. The problem is that this slow drift, this lack of volatility, lack of action has really just become more of an annoyance, like a boil. Right. But of course, you know, we continue to, watch the markets wind higher. We continue to watch President Trump brag about how well the markets are doing, which I think is a mistake on his part. Again, he was the same guy who was against the Obama administration. And again, I'm not a fan of Obama, so let's not get carried away. But he's the same guy who kept, yelling at Obama and saying, hey, this is not, right. And the markets, it's on error. Well, I think the market's in the same error it was during the Obama administration. Okay. I don't think this market is real. I don't think the sustainability of this rally. And again, it's been going for a long time, but we're more on the moving on the house of cards, and it's more of a bubble type of environment without the true growth. And we've got the new tax plan that really is we would call this a tax against the left, which is okay with me, because obviously the biggest flaw in the tax plan is the SALT, the state and local taxes deduction. And who gets penalized for that the most? Well, take a look at the states. New York, which is left, California, which is left, Illinois, which is left, and those are the ones that get the biggest penalty. So we could almost call it a tax against the left, and how can they say no? It's interesting, and it's interesting the way it's designed, but from somebody I know that has read it word by word and looked at it, he tells me that he doesn't think the plan's very good. Okay, he doesn't think that there's much in there, and it is more of a tax hike on some, and it's also more of a tax plan against the small business, which has been our complaint here forever. Again, I am so tired of the middle class getting pounded by everything that, and according to him, now again, I don't know this for facts, but based on a few things he told me, the big companies, big corporate taxes will be 20%, and small business will be 25%, which is not the way it should be. It should be the other way around. We should be creating a better benefit for small business, because small business is the overall driver of the market. But what we do have in the market, and I think one of the problems that we're not really grasping onto, is the lack of volume and volatility in the equity markets. And of course, Goldman Sachs is now looking to abandon their equity option trade. And again, what does that mean? Well, it means that there's not much money to be made right now because of the lack of action. And the lack of action comes from the Federal Reserve. That is what they have put in. And of course, what you're taking out is what you've really done here is you've caused destruction of the free market capitalistic system. Now, you know, it's amazing when you look at the system that we live under. Okay, it's okay for capitalism if you're a big guy. Okay, and I think that to me brings in a lot more problem and does not do what we would like to see and does not make us healthy. I think that this plan is almost, you know, if you are again a subscriber to the fact that the Fed is worthless, then this is more of a plan to continue the overall destruction of the middle class. This is more of a plan to continue to keep the middle class under the thumb and really to make government bigger. And of course, you know, our feeling or my feelings and government is too big to begin with. And, you know, I think that a lot of the issues that we have in this country is that they're directly related to the government. They are directly related to the policies in which we live under right now. And of course, that goes back to we need to drain the overall swamp. You know, if we're not going to drain the swamp, then we're not going to get anywhere. And I think this is what takes us back into the point that we need to put in term limits. President Trump, you need to go back to your one of your first and earliest campaign promises, which is simply to eliminate and make term limits so that we can turn over the Congress and the Senate on a, you know, every 4 to 6 years and get some new blood in there. Because, again, I'm not calling them crooks, but I could be in a way. When you look at when you look at the situation of where we stand and what we've done, okay, you know, why is it that the Senate and Congress get to live under different laws? Why does everybody who goes in there leave a multimillionaire? Why do these things happen? And this goes back to not having them and not having us as a part of, you know, the overall picture. And that, I think, becomes, once again, what we would say the bigger problem, all right? Because, again, the people that are controlling us do not have our best interest at heart. And, you know, anytime you see a bunch of politicians sitting around smiling and chortling about how good they're doing, usually that means that they're sticking it to us. And I believe that that's more the case. We're getting it stuck up our, you know, whatever, where the sun don't shine. And the issue comes down to, okay, we need to have a fair and equal society, which would bring us a smaller government and smaller controls. Because, again, why is it that they don't have to live under the same laws and budget constraints and restrictions that we do? I think that becomes the real story, but nobody ever talks about that. But I'm talking about it because I'm pissed off about it and I'm tired of looking at it. And we'll talk more about that and other things when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I want to remind you that we need to educate our youth, and I've been trying to do it for 6 years, and I have funded it and financed it myself, and I'm now at the point I need some help. So if you could do me a favor and check out Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And you'd like to make a donation to help the high school investing program, that would be wonderful. And of course, for those who meet certain guidelines, we're going to do a special webinar about markets, and we're going to send out my book autographed copy. In the meantime, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And don't forget to get your daily update, Bubba's Daily Update, every day right after the close. I email it to you, a little video. In the meantime, this is Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We're going to step out of a break. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. It's Tuesday. Daylight savings time. I overslept on Monday. What a joke. Anyways, so do you ever get the feeling that the whole design, the grand design, is to turn everything into a socialist nation? At the way that they're wiping out the little guy. You know, if we look at the jobs number, you know, it was not a great number. I don't care what they say. I mean, numbers are only numbers. And the lies that they tell about the numbers are just that. And I always wonder, you know, what does it really mean when we hear these things? And again, you know, they talk about consumer confidence at all-time highs. And, you know, what does that mean? You know, every time we've been here, we've seen the same type of reversal in the market. And I always wonder, okay, you know, what does it really mean and where are we really going? And that becomes, I think, a bigger issue overall. And, you know, I think that the big government that we have has too much control and too much power over what they do with our dollars. And, you know, I think that's why we need to shrink the federal government and bring it back. And it should go back to, you know, cities, counties, states, and then federal. But federal should be more the overseer, not the main decision maker for the individual states. I think that is something that we've done that has become a much bigger problem. And I don't think that is what was intended by the original Constitution, nor do I think it was ever intended for any of us to be in this position. Because what we're really seeing is a destruction of capitalists or capitalism. And, you know, as you look at some of the things that are around, you know, the Social Security program, the Medicare, Medicaid programs, you know, those are really under design to continue to flow in money to the government so that they can continue to overspend and throw our money basically in the garbage can. And I find that as well very problematic. There's not a lot of good things that I think that they actually do. And I think that this is an issue that, you know, has propelled the markets, because the markets have been driven by the wealthy. And, you know, it should be a market or a country with the people, for the people, and by the people. And I think that we've lost that edge. We've lost that. That overall view of how things are supposed to happen. And, you know, again, I'm not very happy with the way things are. And the United States, Americans work more than anybody in the world. When you look at it, you have to figure out, you know, if you look around the globe, for example, in China, depending on what your classification is, what kind of job you have to retire at 50 or 55. And you don't retire well. You retire into a shack, okay, and you sit there and wait to waste away to nothing because you're not allowed to work. You know, Europe, a lot of places are, you know, 55. They've got a lot more holidays. And of course, our system, you work as long as you want. And of course, you get the opportunities to continue to drive and make money and put yourself in a better position, you know, depending on what you want to do. But now, you know, the restrictions and the way that it's been designed, we know that Social Security is about to go broke. And when it does go broke, you know, what are the people that have depended on that Social Security going to do? But the real fact here is that you need to raise the retirement age. And I know they raised it to 67, but it needs to be raised to probably 75. Many, many people are certainly capable of working to that age. Now, I know you're going to say some of the groups, for example, you know, if you're a construction worker, It's not so easy to work to that age. And I understand that. And I think that that would, I think we should have classifications based on what you do and when you can retire. I mean, obviously, if you're a manual laborer, it takes a lot more physical strength and it does wear your body down more. But wouldn't it make sense to then classify, you know, when retirement kicks in? But at the current rate, it takes about 17 people to pay one. Now, that is not going to work for very long. You know, that is the true definition of a Ponzi scheme. And it needs to be adjusted and changed so that we all have a fair and equal opportunity based on what you do. I mean, obviously, if you're the CEO and you're making, you know, $1 million a year, then, you know, you don't need to retire as soon. And certainly you don't need the benefits as soon. So your benefit should kick in at, let's say, 80. Right. Whereas if you're a construction worker, right, you probably should retire at 60, you know, again, 60, 65. Because, again, the ability to to take that wear and tear on your body every day can that does not usually lend to working much longer than that. Again, we have to take into consideration everything. You know, it's the same as we look at, you know, are men and women equal? And the answer is they are equal, but they cannot always do things equally. You know, again, typically, now, and this is not 100%, but typically men are stronger than women. Typically men, you know, have more power than women. And of course, so there, the types of jobs and the types of endurance that you need change. But I think that that's all fairly simple to put together if we could get away from the, again, the swamp and what's going on here, because nobody looks at things from the reason of being practical. And I find that to be a much bigger problem and a much bigger deal than anybody wants to make it out to be. And that's where the adjustments have to be. You know, you can't have one style, one strategy for everybody. I don't think that that works the way that they think it works. And this is, again, why we can make some adjustments. And instead of letting the federal government run amok and spend, and continue to try to borrow their way out of debt, we could actually put together a plan that would benefit everybody and make everybody in better shape. I mean, I'm sure that you CEOs out there that are making the big cake are not as concerned about getting your Social Security at 65 or 67 or whatever age that that would be. I think that many of you would be more than happy to continue to pay in as long as you knew that at some point you would get your dough. And you know, and then that takes us into the Medicare, Medicaid situation. You know, Medicare is not cheap. It's not free. And of course, that's all that's based on earnings and what you make. And of course, that's another problem because we happen to shut out many and we don't have the right positioning for everybody. And I believe that there's ways to make the entire system much fairer, much more easy flowing and correct versus the disaster we have today. And that, I think, is a problem that needs to be addressed. And it doesn't need to be addressed a month from now, a year from now, 10 years from now. It needs to be addressed today. It needs to be fixed so that we can actually go forward and do the things that we need to do that make it better and make it a better America for everybody. Because although we are all equal, we all do different types of jobs. So depending on the job should depend on when you can retire and collect your Social Security. But the age needs to be raised on a general purpose for most. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day. And of course, don't forget to listen to our content. We've got 24-hour day programming and all for to help you learn about what's going on. And of course, don't forget to get Bubba's daily update. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com, download and just fill out the link that's there, and you get the updates every single day after the close. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. I'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, Tuesday.
October, November the 7th. My goodness gracious, how time flies. The year's almost over. And I have a question for everybody. Have the gamblers infiltrated the stock market? Have we become more of a craps table or a blackjack table? Okay. Are we seeing the degenerates now fire into the stock market because of how easy it is, because the markets only know how to go up? Are we now in that place where the gamblers get to take control and watch? And I think if you watch some of the stuff, you could make a case that the gamble has become more of a gamble type of place. Because again, if you're a gambler and you need the action, what better place than the stock market, where it seems like all you have to do is just step in and buy, and you're going to continue to get, you know, rallies. Now, again, this is not the first time this has happened. I mean, we had a lot of the gambler types in the markets back in the 90s. We've had them in at every point, at every big market. So have they now taken over, especially if you weigh in that we basically have no fear to the market? So if you take a market that has no fear and you take a market that, you know, continues to move higher, then if you're a probability person and you're trying to gamble on something, then you might have a fair chance on making the gamble in the market. I think that that is something that you might be seeing. And of course, that would also lead you to believe that one of the reasons maybe the Bitcoin is flying the way that it's flying is maybe you've got a lot of gamblers in there chasing it up and down, basically just chasing it up as we hit over 7,700 this weekend. I think when you look at the basic look, you could make a pretty good case that the gamblers are taking over right now. And, you know, what does it mean? Well, right now it doesn't mean anything. But of course, you know, when you start bringing in people that typically don't trade markets, when you start bringing in people that typically don't do the types of things, then that means, you know, you're bringing in outside that don't do this. That could, another thing that could lead to, you know, again, we're not calling for the end of the world, but could lead to also a sell-off. Because again, if you're gamblers have a short-term mentality typically. So, you know, that could be something that we could be looking at and take into consideration as we watch these markets work, because again, you have so little interest right now and so little volume right now in the market that who is actually driving the markets like this? And that would be something that would create some concern for me as well, is that, you know, where is the money coming from? Now, it doesn't really matter, but as you've watched the explosion of some of these things, if you've watched the explosion of, for example, you know, the cryptocurrencies, you know, the initial coin offerings, you know, are people starting to fire in there? You know, as they search for new places to put their money, could that be a possibility? And I don't know that it is or it isn't. I'm speculating, that that's one of the drivers right now is the outside gamblers. Now, earlier we talked a little bit about the consumer confidence. Now, if you look back in history and you see the certain points and times of every time consumer confidence has risen to what I would call ridiculous levels, what have we seen soon after is we've seen the markets sell off. Now, again, A, I don't know how much I believe in these consumer confidence surveys to begin with. You know, they don't necessarily give you a great idea of where that information is coming from. Certainly, you know, depending on who you're looking at, you have something to look at and you have a reason to look at it. But when you now weigh in this high level of confidence, and then we look back at the initial claims, you know, jobless claims that continue to fall, you know, we're at levels now not seen since 1973. But the types of jobs that we see are not very good. But yet we continue to chirp up. And I think that's another thing I believe that President Trump should be cautious on is the continued chirping about how good the jobs are. A, he did not create a lot of those jobs. But B, if I were that guy, I wouldn't want to take credit for the crappy jobs that we've brought to this country. All right. Again, we've got a lot of service jobs that we're seeing, but not a lot of meat jobs, not a lot of jobs that pay good dollars, big dollars. And I think that is also an issue that needs to be, you know, thought about is, you know, where is, you know, the average income of four, I believe, is $57,000 or $58,000 a year. Okay. Now, if you take that and you say, okay, and you take away something, and if you go to work, if you've lost your job and you go to work in the service sector, right, then you're not making anywhere close to that $57,000 or $58,000. And if you are making that much, you still are responsible to pay for your own health insurance. So how is the economy going to grow if most people are spending, you know, I think the average family of four health insurance, let's say, is $1,500 a month. So if you're making 60, I'll use even numbers, and you're paying $18,000 a year for health insurance, and you're paying, you know, taxes, let's say 20, it will go to 20%. All right. So now you're taking that $58,000 down to 40, and then another 20%. So you're taking it down to 32. And then, of course, if you lose some of these deductions that we're talking about, and that takes your income down, you know, under 30, well, I don't know. I don't know many families that can live, okay, and help the economy grow on that kind of money. The problem is most things are now out of whack in relationship to everything else. You know, healthcare keep going up. A lot of costs keep going up, even though they tell us that we don't have inflation. And of course, then what happens is we have a position that says, uh-oh, that's a problem. Because we're not giving our people a chance to go out and enjoy and live life because we are having them spend so much on the necessities, all right? And of course, then that then ties to my opinion that they're trying to eliminate the little guy because, you know, if you look at it, why is it that the health insurers until recently were given such big subsidies in this market, okay, you know, with their, you know, the losses that they may suffer? You know, I'd like to have a company that got paid, you know, if I didn't make money on something, I would get paid back by the federal government. This is the same problem we have in our educational system, which continues to raise prices at more than the inflation of 2% a year. But again, because they get money back again from the federal government, you know, with the with this whole FAFSA and other things that are done, which FAFSA is the institution that gives you money off of school, you start to see that it all kind of starts to make sense. and we don't really have the benefit of anything from here. Because really what happens is it allows the institutions, it allows the insurance companies, it allows all of those to continue to raise rates, squeezing the average American, squeezing the middle class, squeezing those who can't afford it into another bad position in which they can never get out. Now, again, from a logic standpoint, that makes absolutely no sense. But it makes even less sense that our president is bragging about some of these things because it's not true. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the model. We, as middle-class Americans, continue to struggle. I mean, you know, if you've gotten gas lately, look at gas. You know, I mean, in Chicago, gas is like $2.75. All right. Now, that's up substantially even from 6 months ago. I still got to fill up my tank. I don't get to not fill up my tank. So that's, again, more income, more money out of my pocket that is being taken from me because of the ridiculous policies in which we live under. I think these are things that need to be long and well thought over, because at the end of the day, we don't have a great setup to account for all this, but yet the rich get paid for everything. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I think it's something that does definitely needs to be worked on. And I think hopefully if we can use our high school education program to educate our youth. All right. And of course I need help on that at Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. But if we can educate our youth, maybe we can start to turn this over so that we can understand that you just can't keep trying to borrow your way out of debt and do all these things. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm is my station. You can go there and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And don't forget to get yourself that Bubba's Daily Update, which I send out every single day. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com, fill out the little box that pops up. It's free. You get the update every day emailed to you right after the close. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out for a break. I'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show.
Thousand beers in 28 years.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, we've been talking about all the government crap and what's going on. But what we didn't talk about yet is, did you see that Jeff Bezos sold $1.1 billion worth of Amazon? Now, you know, this is not the first time this has happened. And I think it's interesting. And I think he's smart, A, to do that if he's not going to hedge it. But again, a lot of times we forget that, you know, once something becomes so much a big part of your net worth that you don't want to rely on one asset class to save you or help you. And of course, I think that is what we are seeing. I think he's simply doing what Larry Page did from Google, was just simply to reduce his exposure. And why shouldn't he take $1 billion off the table? I mean, I'm not a big fan of his, but I can't blame him for being fiscally responsible. But you know, it's certainly at these levels, why wouldn't you take some of the profit and take some of the money off the table? But I think there's some really serious and some very interesting problems developing. And I think, you know, we talked about this a little earlier, the opportunity and the ability for wage growth. Now, I think if you look at certain sectors, if you look at manufacturing, wholesale, and, the leisure and hospitality, I think those are going to be sectors and industries that are going to keep wage growth at a standstill. I don't see a big need for manufacturing, because we're not creating that opportunity. I don't see a lot of things going on that would allow us to believe that we're going to see anything that would be helpful in that area. And, you know, again, you can get all the jobs you want at McDonald's, you know, at any of these service industries. Those are plentiful and available. But is that what we're looking for? And I think obviously that isn't really what everybody's looking for. I think that that does not pay much of the bills. And I think this is something that has to be looked at and taken care of, because if not, it's going to create a much bigger problem. But of course, our and I'm a big fan of fighting the war on terror. Big fan. All right. But do you realize, does anybody know that we've been paying approximately $250 million a day for the last 16 years? Okay. $250 million a day for approximately the last 16 years. Now, again, I'm all for fighting it, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but do you realize what we're spending there? And, you know, if we look at the bigger picture, okay, and we look at, let's go back to, as much as I hate to, let's go back to the swamp. What would you say if I said to you these three words? Fraud, delusion, and crooks. Okay. Does that mean anything? I mean, would anybody disagree that many of the things that we're seeing and hearing about are more of those things that are being, we would perpetrate as a fraud? All right. Are they really out there smiling at the Rose Garden with their speeches telling us what they just did for us versus taxes? Or is it more of a fraud? Okay. And again, I believe that those are issues and problems that we cannot continue to overlook, which brings us all the way back to changing the term limits. Because if we can clean out the swamp, if we can clean out everything, then all of a sudden we don't have so much debt, right? And I think that is one of the bigger issues. I think that is one of the bigger problems. And I think that if you look at it from that standpoint, you might be in agreement. Maybe you won't be. And if you're not, hey, fire away. Let me know. Okay. I'm certainly not against it. Okay. I think that a viewpoint here is that, you know, we've got to get rid of the war on savers. Okay. We've got to get away from the torturing the fixed income people. You know, we're becoming a society of more and more fixed income people. And typically they are the second group of spenders that support and build the economy, because what do? They'll buy things for their grandchildren and things like that. And now that you're trying to also eliminate them from the picture, you're creating another place and where we're taking away the monies that could be going back into the economy. You know, this goes back to something we've talked about here a number of times over the years, and that's the velocity of money. You know, if you don't have spenders, right, then you don't have money moving. You're not seeing the flow from my pocket to your pocket to somebody else's pocket, where everybody takes a little bit off that and it continues to flow around. And again, I think that now again addresses another big problem that we always are ignoring. The old ostrich in the head in the sand routine. Now, you know, if you look at it from that way, then we could really put ourselves in a better position. But that first has to come from the elimination of a lot of the rules and laws and regulations that we have now because of the swamp creatures that really don't give a rat about those things. And we have to stop that, because again, that is going to become a bigger and bigger part of our population because we're continuing to get older. And if you reduce and take away these opportunities from those people, you are just destroying the overall system we're in. Now, as we come close to the end, and I think one of the things that we need to talk about as well, as we continue to believe that this market will never go down again, is will the EU collapse, the European Union? You know, they have not done a very good job. You know, the original playbook is from them, is from the Brits, okay, the original central banking, the whole deal. But, you know, there's a lot of issues in the EU. There's a lot of people that are trying to secede from the EU. And will that make them collapse? And the answer is, I don't know, but I would think that there's a pretty high probability of a collapse in the European Union because of the things that are going on, because of the Brexit, because of the Frexit, because of the Catalans, because of this. There's a lot of reasons to believe that those are things that are going to happen. But until we get past that, we will find, you know, that these things will be on edge. But of course, right now, the markets don't care because, again, because of the cheap money, they continue to push the markets higher. But anyways, that is what it is. And this is Todd Bubba Horwitz, The Bubba Show. And of course, if you want to download the show, you can go to libertytalk.fm every single day and download The Bubba Show, as well as The Sporting Edge. And of course, again, I encourage you to get Bubba's Daily Update, which comes out every single day after the close. It's a quick 3 to 5 minute video about what's going on and what I expect to happen tomorrow. And you can get that at bubbatrading.com. I also do a 30 minute on over the weekend. I do just a recap and a bigger overview on the weekends, but check it out. Anyways, thank you so much for being a part of the show today. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.